House will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto. Barbuto, excused. Berger, excused. Blake.
Here.
Flickery.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Boughton.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Edmonds, excused. Eklund.
Here.
Esquibel, excused. Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Gingery,
Goggles, excused. Greer,
here.
Green,
here.
Harshman, Harshman, excused. Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Illaway, Illaway,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Kasparic,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Lubno,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim, McKim, McComey,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz, Nicholas,
here.
Patton,
here.
Peasley,
here.
Pedersen,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Petroff,
here.
Korberg,
here.
Reeder,
here.
Roscoe,
here.
Simlick,
here.
Stewart,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Throne,
here.
Ronish, Ronish, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, excused. Edmonds?
Here.
Okay. McKim. McKim, excused. Ronish. Ronish, excused. Wallace. 51 present, 9 excused.
Please join us for the prayer today given by Reverend Kurt Borgard from the First Christian Church of Cheyenne.
Let's once again lift our hearts. Gracious God, we thank you for another beautiful day. We are so grateful for this place in which we live and the place that you give us to come together to be community in the state that we call Wyoming. Even this day, as we think about the leadership that we bring to this state, we think about those across the world who bring leadership in whatever ways that they do. We think of leaders in other countries and decisions that they will make. We pray that in whatever way you might be able to influence them through your Spirit to make decisions that are for the good of your people and the good of your creation. We pray for the leaders of this nation that they will be strong, that they will have courage and fortitude to do what they need to do what is right, to do what is good, to do what is not only right for today, but for today, tomorrow, and generations to come. We pray as well for this body that we might come together and be filled with that spirit that we pray for leaders across the world, that you will inspire us to make the decisions that we need, yes, for today, for tomorrow, and for the future generations to come. Give us the strength in our tiredness. Give us courage when we feel weak. Give us the boldness to make the decisions that are right for you and for the people that we come to serve. Bless what we do here. May it be filled with the inspiration that you can give. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen.
We are honored today to have the Boy Scouts of America here today to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. The Central Wyoming Council, Longs Peaks Council, and Grand Teton Council are all here today giving a report to the governor on the great works done by the Boy Scouts of America, and they are here now to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Will you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much.
Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March 1st, 2012 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Kasparic, Representative Freeman.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number 3. Mr. Speaker, the Senate has completed consideration of Budget Bill 1. In accordance with J.R. 14G, the bill has been referred directly to a conference committee of 5 members to meet with a like committee from the House to report the recommended amendments for final consideration by both houses with respect to both budget bills, HB 1 and S-5-1, and the amendments thereto. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 192. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee, number 1, from the House on Amendments to House Bill 1. The Senate conferees are Senator Nicholas, Chairman, Senator Peterson, Senator Meyer, Senator Von Flattern, Senator Hastert. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 193. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bills as below by the vote indicated. House Bill 63, Child Custody Modification After Military Service. Ayes 10, noes 20. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Signed, Diane Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
The nurse of the day is Lisa Holsey from Cheyenne Regional Medical Center. And it appears the doctor of the day is Senator Christensen there in the back. Representative Croker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, thank you. I would like to introduce our page of the day. And you have met and been introduced to a couple of future speakers of the House. Joshua Croker is a first grader at Fort Casper Academy in Casper, and last year he had to give a presentation to his class on himself, and he was asked what he wanted to be when he grew up. His response was a simple king. So I present Joshua Croker, our page of the day. Just a minute. And in the gallery behind you are Josh's grandparents and aunts. We know that that's the way to introduce them because you all know that they wouldn't come up to see their son actually do work, only their grandson. My father, Phil, my mom, Carla, they're both from Colorado, and my sister, Crystal, who flew up all the way from Houston, Texas, just to watch today. She can do that because her husband's a pilot, so she can fly free. And in the South Gallery, the gorgeous woman is my wife, Christy, and the little guy she's holding is my youngest son, Daniel. So please welcome them.
Chairman Harvey, privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Up in this gallery over here with our state auditor, Cynthia Cloud, we have 2 cadets from the Youth Challenge Program, Cadet Trula Carter, would you stand, please, and Cadet Nicole Seeger. And they are accompanied by their Commandant Russ Bolin. These girls began their day this morning at 3 a.m. and traveled from Guernsey to Cheyenne to volunteer at the Leap Into Leadership Breakfast hosted by Auditor Cynthia Cloud. And these fine women generously served their community and gave their gift of time. And the state auditor, as well as Leap Into Leadership Program, truly thank them for their service. Could you welcome them, please?
Representative Patton, privilege.
Thank you. In the South Gallery are the Boy Scouts that just led us in our pledge. We're honored to have the Eagle Scouts, and behind every Eagle Scout is a very determined mother. So the mothers and the family, as well as the executives of the Central Wyoming Council and the Longmont Council from Colorado, Cheyenne, and Laramie, let's give them a hearty Wyoming legislative welcome.
This morning it is our honor to welcome U.S. Representative Cynthia Lummis back to the Wyoming Legislature. Prior to being elected to represent the people of Wyoming in the U.S. House of Representatives, she served 14 years in the Wyoming House and Senate. She is currently serving on the Subcommittee on Agriculture, the Subcommittee on the Interior and the Environment, and the Subcommittee on Labor, Health, and Human Services and Education. Representative Lummis continues to be involved in the daily operations of the family ranch located in Laramie County while proudly serving the residents of Wyoming and Washington. Please help me in welcoming United States Representative Lummis to the chamber.
Good morning. Good morning, and thank you kindly. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, may I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. It is such an honor to be with you this morning. You begin your day with God and country, and then you go to family. And in that order, it was so lovely to see that you've established a new tradition here that didn't exist when I was here of greeting each other and shaking hands and chatting and hugging and acknowledging each other's value and importance in creating and guiding this great state. And that's one of the reasons that this is the greatest state in the United States. You know, when Senator Enzi and Senator Barrasso and I come here and tell you that Wyoming is better, that the Wyoming legislature is better than the Congress of the United States, we're not just saying that to make you feel good. It is an honest-to-gosh fact. Let me tell you some of the goofy practices in Washington that make it so inferior to the way things are done here. I serve now on the Appropriations Committee, and it was mentioned the three subcommittees I serve on. There are 12 subcommittees of appropriations. Here, the authorizing committees create policy. And then once policy is established, the bill is re-referred to the Appropriations Committee, where the appropriate expenditure to administer those policies are applied by these same legislators before the bill reports to the floor of the House. The same process is pursued in the Senate here. In Washington, there's a complete disconnect between the authorizing committees and the appropriators. So much so that when I was on the House Ag Committee, an authorizing committee, and the House Natural Resources, an authorizing committee, and now serve on those sort of sister committees, but within the appropriations process, communication is cut off. Programs that have ceased being authorized, including the Endangered Species Act, which lapsed 20 years ago, the BLM authorization has lapsed, and yet we continue to fund those agencies and programs, even though the statutory authority for those programs has ceased to exist. Now, the only way that you can rationally establish policy and then fund it is if those processes are linked. And yet the Congress of the United States, the so-called greatest legislative body in the world, has not figured that out. This is a superior organization. The people here are extremely knowledgeable. Your dedication to our state is deeply appreciated by me. Your camaraderie as you gather, as Wyomingites first, and as members of party second, is something that I adore about this institution. I can't tell you great pride I have in the Wyoming legislature. It has swelled since I became a member of Congress because I understand now more than I understood during the 14 years that I was here how absolutely superior, how exceptional and professional, and how lucky Wyoming is to have you. So
So I want you to know, as you are wrapping up this session, thank you. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for training your three members of Congress about how to do it right. Thank you for your continued guidance as you call our offices in Washington and help us understand, because of your superior place in this country as intended by the Founding Fathers, how to do it better. This country was founded so that the states were on top and the people were on top and the federal government was on the bottom. It was an upside down pyramid. Washington has it wrong. Washington has it flipped. You know how it's supposed to be. You're working with the people. The Wyoming legislature passes laws to their benefit, and you are superior to, and the federal government is supposed to be subservient to you. We need to return our nation to that status. We need to make sure that the federal government is protecting and defending our borders, is providing for the common defense, is delivering the mail, is doing those things which were spelled out in the Constitution. And that is why the 10th Amendment was added, to make sure that all those other functions would be preserved for the states and the people. That is you. I salute you. I honor you. I thank you for the great pride that you give me. It just swells when I come here. God bless you, and God bless our beloved state of Wyoming. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield back.
On behalf of the Wyoming Legislature, thank you for taking the time to visit us today, and we wish you the continued success serving Wyoming in the United States House of Representatives. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 645, engrossed, respectfully report, same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number three, Revenue, to whom is referred Senate File 77, respectfully reports back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Camel, Childers, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Semlich, Vronish, Goggles, excused Goggles, signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number three, Revenue, to whom is referred Senate File 95, respectfully report, same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Camel, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Semlich. No, Childers, Brownish, excused, Goggles, signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 43, engrossed, respectfully report, same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Connolly, Davison, McComey, Petroff, Reeder. No, Yegi, McKim, signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 71, engrossed, respectfully report, same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Connolly, Davison, Yegi, McKim, McComey, Petroff, Reeder. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 79, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Connolly, Davison, Yegi, McKim, McComey, Petroff, Reeder. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 89, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Connolly, Davison, Yegi, McKim, McComey, Petroff, Reeder, signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number eight, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 68, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, McKim, Peterson, Korberg, Vranish, Zwanitzer, Dave, signed representing Korberg, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate File 75 engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Byrd, Greer, Hunt, Gasparic, Lockhart, Moniz, Roscoe, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dave, signed Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom is referred Senate File 38 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Buchanan, Connolly, Kraft, Gingrey, Illaway, Lubnow, Reeder, Stubson, Throne. Absent, Brechtel, Patton. Excused, Goggles, Korberg. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman.
Any re-referrals? Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would like to re-refer Senate File 43, State Parks Acquisition of Lands, and Senate File 71, Aquatic Invasive Species, to your committee number 2, Appropriations.
Senate File 43 and Senate File 71 are re-referred to Appropriations Committee number 2. Any other re-referrals? We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 12.
Senate File 12, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to Nuclear Energy Task Force Extension.
Representative Dave Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 12 and ask for your favorable consideration. As you know, what this bill is doing is asking for the Nuclear Task Force to have another 2 years of study. And what I'm trying to do with this amendment is to get some actual lists so the rest of the body can see what's going. So I'll try to walk through it quickly here to tell you what changes I'm making. And I suppose the most important one is that where it says the task force shall study, I've changed the word study to develop, and then we've gone on to ask them to develop some list. And the list that we're curious about to know is a list of the potential sites in the state of Wyoming where we would consider putting a site. Also, as you go down, we would look at a list of potential water sources. And I think it's important that we look at our transmission lines and see where the where we can put these. So basically, this amendment is simply trying to give some directive and some guidance. As I'd like to say, we're in phase two of this study, and I think we heard testimony that this task force has a lot of things to look at, and I was trying to narrow some of them down. And when you go into page 3, we're simply asking them for the task force to give us a written report that lists those items that we're asking for. I would stand for any questions.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the proposed amendment, I think the problem with the amendment is that it pushes to a conclusion of where we ought to do the focusing as opposed to further developing what the task force started out to do on the last interim, and that is to identify where there were opportunities in other areas, and now we're trying to refine that even more. But to say that we've got to get into transmission lines and water sources, those are kinds of conclusions or recommendations that they're trying to urge to happen. I'm not certain that they can do it in that short order, so I would leave it a little more flexible going forward and urge your no vote.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and against the amendment, I concur with the Chairman of Minerals. Really, this puts us in a direction of nuclear power production, and really that's not the emphasis of this bill. It's really about climbing the value chain with our minerals. Might be processing. It might be something else. There's a whole gamut, and part of this, too, is the education piece in our state and workers and all those things, and so this pushes us really in a direction I don't think that is the idea behind it. It's really, again, about moving Wyoming resources to that next level instead of just exporting them all. So on and against the amendment.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and against the amendment, but I like the ideas being presented to try to get to some focus, and that'll be the goal of this committee in the next study period. The ideas presented here are good, and they need to be looked at. But again, we don't want to limit it. We want it to remain open. We don't actually know where it's going to go. Transmission issues are an important issue. The small modular reactors, frankly, are a partial solution to that issue, and we need to leave it pretty broad at this point. But I also see a potential new member to the task force.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Dave Zwanzer.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And of course, I'll leave it to the body of how you want to do it. I'm not suggesting that they need to come up with anything exact, but I am asking for some list of possible sites of where we might put it. I think they should look at what possible water sources. If we're going to put nuclear power in the state of Wyoming, we surely got to figure out where we're going to come up with our water sources. And you have to realize that if we put it here, we have to ship our end product somewhere. And to get that ship somewhere, and as you know, it's been an issue in this state for the last 2 or 3 years of even getting some of our wind energy out of the state. So transmission lines and storage of the waste are all things that I think need to be considered. And I would just like something more than when the committee comes back and says, well, we were in committee and we looked at an awful lot of stuff, and there's a tremendous amount of issues. But I think as we put another budget amount into this force, I think some of us would just like to have some sort of fuzzy idea of where we're planning on going with this, and then we might get all excited and run a third a study and proceed. So I will leave it in your hands, whatever you'd like to do. If you like the ideas, vote for it, bring a third reading amendment to change some of them, or vote her down. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
We are on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 12. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no.
No.
The amendment fails. Senate File 12 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 14.
Senate File 14, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act related to nuclear and hybrid energy system related projects.
Senate File 14 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 19.
Senate File 19, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to predator control.
Senate File 19, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 27.
Senate File 27, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to public meetings.
Senate File 27, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 29.
Senate File 29, introduced by Senator Esquivel, an act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substances Act, SPICE definition amended.
Senate File 29, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 36.
Senate File 36, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to state parks and cultural resources regarding the acquisition of the LX Bar Ranch.
Chairman Peters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 36 and would ask for your favorable consideration. There is approximately $160,000 in the Wyoming Cultural Resource Trust Fund account that is unobligated at this point. I am simply diverting those resources towards this appropriation and then backfilling the balance out of the general fund. I would ask for your aye vote.
Representative Bookery.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I consider this a good amendment and hope you'll support it.
Chairman McCormick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I too think this is probably a good amendment. However, I got to looking around, and there might be some kind of statute problem with it. I'm having it researched right now. If there is, I'll talk to the bringer of the amendment, and we can take any action necessary on third reading.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Anyone for their second time? We are on second reading amendment number one to Senate File 36. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no.
No.
The amendment passes. Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I move second reading amendment number two to Senate File 36 and ask for your favorable consideration. This amendment will set up a challenge account within the state parks to provide for match funding and for in-kind contributions for the support of this project. It does not affect the appropriation that we had just discussed. And that's currently in the bill for the just refers to the future maintenance and improvements of it. We had some discussion yesterday on Committee of the Whole. The proponents said let's support the appropriation for the acquisition of this gift. And they said give us some time to figure out how we're going to pay for it. I think this amendment just kind of helps set up an administrative structure of how the project could be funded. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Butkery.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem and fellow representatives, I consider this a good amendment and hope you'll support it.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Anyone for their second? We are on second reading amendment number two to Senate File 36. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. The amendment passes. Senate File 36, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 41.
Senate File 41, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to game and fish regarding wolf management.
Senate File 41, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 46.
Senate File 46, introduced by Senator Martin, an act relating to liens, fuel consumed in the project.
Senate File 46, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 55.
Senate File 55, introduced by Senator Bebout, an act relating to state trust lands, purchase of federal lands,
Senate File 55, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 67.
Senate File 67, introduced by Senator Perkins, an act relating to real estate brokers and sales agents' opinions on value.
Mr. Majority Whip, could you come up for a moment?
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. I move amendment number one. What this was, if to remind you, the other day we were talking about the broker's price, price or value. I can't remember which way we went with. Anyway, there was a concern from the Real Estate Commission whether or not they had the authority to enforce if someone was doing this poorly. I actually think they already have the authority when you read the statute, because it says any type of real estate dealing they have authority over. So I think the belt is already there. This is just adding suspenders to it just to make them feel a little more comfortable, because there seems to be some people that are uncomfortable with this bill. And so I was hoping to find a way to make some people a little bit more comfortable with the overall bill. I'm not really sure if the amendment's needed, actually, but if it makes people feel better, we can put it on. If you pull that statute up, what it says is that they could enforce, and then it has like a list of like 30 things. And all this is doing is adding this one to the end. If you commit gross negligence in performing one of these brokers' price deals, that the Real Estate Commission could take disciplinary action against you.
For your first time, Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment. This is a broker's price opinion. It states right on it that it's not a certified appraisal. I just don't think I want to get into the business of having the government fine people for a poor opinion.
Anyone else for your first time? Second time? We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 67. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no.
No.
Amendment is defeated. Senate File 67, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 85.
Senate File 85, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to administrative procedure general permits.
Senate File 85, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Representative Escobel? Okay, we'll go with Representative Throne. Okay, we're back to Representative Escobel.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, pro tem, pursuant to Rule -3-A, I move that Senate File 40 be laid back an additional day.
Is there any objection to laying back Senate File 40 for one day? Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem, pursuant to the rule, I do object.
Okay, so here's how the rule works. So if there is an objection, then we vote on sustaining that objection. So if you vote aye, it means you don't want to lay it back. If you vote no, it means you do want to lay it back. Does everybody get that? Okay. I'll read the rule, actually. Maybe that's an easier way to do it. It says, absent objection sustained by a majority of those present, a bill scheduled for second or third reading may be laid back for an additional day. So there's been an objection by Representative Stubson. So you're voting to either sustain his objection, so you would vote aye, meaning that you agree with Representative Stubson that you don't want it laid back. If you do want it laid back, vote no. Everybody follow me now? Okay. The chief clerk will call the roll. Oh, she has to set it up. Give her a moment. Okay, to just remind you again, an aye is you're with Representative Stubson, meaning that you don't want to lay it back. A no means you do want to lay it back. Okay? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery. Bonner,
aye.
Botten,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brechtel?
No.
Brown?
Aye.
Burkhart?
No.
Byrd?
No.
Campbell?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Childers?
Aye.
Connolly?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Davison?
No.
Edmonds?
Aye.
Eklund?
Aye.
Esquivel?
No.
Freeman?
No.
Gay?
No.
Gingery?
Aye.
Goggles? Excused. Greer?
Aye.
Green?
Aye.
Harshman?
Aye.
Harvey?
Aye.
Hunt?
Aye.
Illaway?
Aye.
Yagi?
No.
Kasparic?
Aye.
Croker?
Aye.
Crone?
No.
Lockhart?
Aye.
Laux?
Aye.
Lebno?
Aye.
Madden?
Aye.
McKim?
No.
McComey?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Patton?
Aye.
Peasley?
No.
Pedersen?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Petroff?
No.
Korberg?
Aye.
Reeder?
No.
Roscoe?
No.
Simlick?
Aye.
Stewart?
Aye.
Stubson?
Aye.
Teeters?
Aye.
Throne?
No.
Ronish?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan?
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave?
Aye.
Mr. Speaker?
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Harvey? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 41 aye, 18 no, 1 excused.
The objection has been sustained, so the bill is not laid back.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Chairman Harvey.
Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, the Wyoming Women's Caucus is very proud to sponsor once again the Leap Into Leadership program, and there are several of the ladies here that are attending that program. Would you please stand up and be recognized? This program is to involve women in all levels of government and all levels of service in their community. We invite them to run for school boards, town councils, parent-teacher organizations, and the legislature. So look out, boys. The girls are back in town. Would you please give them a welcome?
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Illay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, several years ago, there was a submarine that was commissioned and christened, and it's SSN 773. It's a fast attack Los Angeles class submarine. It's named the USS Cheyenne. It's stationed in Honolulu, Hawaii, and it's my pleasure this morning to introduce to you the commanding officer, Gary Rugness, and two people, if I can get the paper apart, Senior Chief Mike Hinkle, who's chief of the boat, and Lieutenant J.G. John Russell, who's communicator, and I want to tell you that Commander Rugness will be changing command in May. So they're on the north balcony. Would you salute them?
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
In the South Gallery, I'd like to introduce my college roommate. It's not often that one of my college roommates travels from the East Coast to come visit. I'd like to introduce Linda Clarizio, who helped with our LEAP program last night by being the dinner speaker, and I'm going to get her out of town fast before you have time to ask her any questions. Please welcome her.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative.
Oh, sorry.
Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the West Gallery is a good friend of mine, Kate Murray. Kate, if you'd stand up. Kate is one of the health and safety managers for BP America here in Wyoming. And traveling here from Houston, and someone else did, maybe we need direct air service. So if you would join me in welcoming Kate.
Chairman Berger.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I would like to introduce Johan Niels from Dayton, Wyoming. I'm almost certain he's the furthest north constituent I have today. So stand up, give him a wave. He works for the town of Dayton, and he's on our school board. So welcome, Johan.
We're at the order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move a consent list consisting of the following bills. Senate File 10, 17, 30, 35, 40, 47, 62, 84, and 86.
Does anybody want to remove any bills from the consent list? Representative Esquivel.
Mr. Speaker, I move Senate File move off the consent list.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. Which one?
Move Senate File off the consent list.
Which
Senate File 40.
Senate File 40 has been removed from the consent list, as has Senate File 33. Reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File 10, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Military Department Youth Challenge Program sunset date being adopted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 17, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to Game and Fish Authority revisions being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 30, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming State Highway Patrol Game and Fish regarding investigator retirement, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 35, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to public funds regarding higher education reserve accounts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 47, introduced by Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects, omnibus water bill construction, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 62, introduced by Senator Cooper, an act relating to licensing for electrical installations, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 84, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to counties, county commission special expertise, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 86, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to public health and safety, greenhouse gas air quality regulation, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft. Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles excused, Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Krohn,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz, Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korbert,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Vronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 10, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 17, are there any changes? Teeters? Aye to no. Brechtel? Aye to no. Edmonds? Aye to no. Peasley? Aye to no. Burkhart? Aye to no. Croker? Aye to no. Gay? Aye to no. Harshman? Aye to no. Pedersen? Aye to no. Hunt? Aye to no. Miller? Aye to no. Lubnow? Aye to no. Eklund? Aye to no. Korberg? Aye to no. Semlich? Aye to no. Mr. Speaker? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 43 aye, 16 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 30, are there any changes? Blake? Aye to no. Botten? Aye to no. Davison? Aye to no. Vronish? Aye to no. McKim? Aye to no. Kraft? Aye to no. Barbudo? Aye to no. Esquivel? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Throne? Aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 50 aye, 9 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 35, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 47, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 62, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 84, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 86, are there any changes? Teeters, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 10, 17, 30, 35, 47, 62, 84, and 86 have passed the House. With that order of business of bills of third reading and final passage, the first bill for our consideration is Senate File 8.
Senate File 8, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to ethanol tax credit being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 8 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Eklund. Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles excused. Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Moniz, aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlich,
no.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Vronish,
aye.
Wallace. Swanitz or Dan?
Aye.
Swanitz or Dave?
Aye.
Mr. Speaker?
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 44 aye, 15 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 8, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 8 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 25.
Senate File 25, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to public records, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
In Senate File 25, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Frechtel.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel. Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles excused, Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas, Patton, Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Cheaters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Braunisch,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitz or Dan,
aye.
Swanitz or Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 5 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 25, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 25 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 33.
Senate File 33, introduced by the Management Audit Appropriation Committee, enacting the administration of government regarding Department of Enterprise Technology Services. Be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 33. Ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to take one more whack at this. And it's not advisable to catch the stomach flu the night before you try to take a whack at a bill on third reading, but here I am. For this amendment, I would like, Mr. Speaker, if it's permissible, to divide the amendment right away. So the division number 1 will be lines 1 through 16, and division number 2 is 17 through 21. And I'd like to speak on division number 1.
Divisible, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, division number 1 is the amendment that I brought on Committee of the Whole with a few changes. I went back to our good staff, talked to them about what was said on the floor, the interpretation given on second reading to remove it, asked them to more narrowly define it, and I was reassured again. So when you read this amendment, actually all the way through, there's two things you need to remember. When you see the words, the department, we are talking about only the new department we're about to create. So the ETS, the department that's being, will be run by the OCIO. That's what the department reads. When you see the words agency, it means everybody else. And we define both department and agency in your Senate File 33, and you can find those at the very beginning of the bill under the definition page. So what this says is the department, so the new department shall report back to the Joint Appropriations Committee a list of any federal programs being implemented by the department. We stopped there. What I had in the first, in the Committee of the Whole, I had in any part or in the whole. We took that out. So we are even more narrowly defining this. The list shall include the specific statutory authorization, if any, authorizing the department, again, only the OCIO's department, their implementation of the program. The department shall not be required to report any program pursuant to this subsection for which it is providing solely support services for any agency charged with implementing the federal program. So, if they're just doing support service with any of the other agencies, they don't have to report any of that. It's simply if they and they alone implement a federal program. So any other, if they're going to the Department of Health to help them with something they've already implemented, they don't have to report that. If they go to any of the agencies, the AG's office, anyone, and do any kind of ancillary support, they do not have to report it. I could not more narrowly define this amendment if I tried. So I think this will satisfy everyone, and I will stand for questions.
We're on third reading, Amendment Number 2, Division 1, to Senate File 33. Anyone for their first time on Division 1? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Second time, Representative Edmonds.
I'll just call for the question, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on Division 1 of third reading, Amendment Number 2, to Senate File 33. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Division 1 to third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 33 has been adopted. We're on Division 2. Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Division 2. This amendment I brought specifically because I think the largest amount of concern over this bill is not necessarily what's in the bill, it's what's not in the bill. And so when you read this amendment, without specific legislation enacted after April 1st of this year, authorizing the department, again, any legislation authorizing the department we're about to create to do so, the department shall not integrate any database in any agency, so that's all of the agencies, with other databases unless the agency is currently, so we put as of April 1, providing enterprise data analytics services to more than one agency. So all of the agencies that are speaking to each other right now, and I have been assured, and I'm going to, the reason I brought this is I want to reference an email that was sent to all of you by one of the members of this committee in which we were told, and this has been a theme I've heard continually, what this bill does not do, and that's what this amendment, that's why I'm bringing this amendment. This amendment is quoting what has been said this bill will not do. And in the email it says that it does not allow the technology department to integrate any database in any agency that is not already providing service to more than one agency. That's exactly what this amendment does. This amendment is simply codifying what I have heard, what has been said publicly, what has been said in public testimony, what's been said in an email and sent to every member of this body. That's all that this amendment is doing. That's all it's doing is codifying what we keep hearing because it's not in the bill. And that's what has so many people and so many of your constituents concerned is that these things are not in the bill. So we're not prohibiting the department from doing some of these things. So I'll stand for questions.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have a question and a concern, certainly not with the intent, but with the language of the amendment. And when it talks about integration with any another database on lines 19 and 20, it seems to me that it could implicate outside databases. So, like, for example, if you've got Game and Fish that's bringing some GIS information in and wants to integrate it into its system and use the OCIO to help it do that. This, it seems like this would require us to do specific legislation to authorize that. And is that, I just, if you would respond to that concern, I'd appreciate it.
Mr. Majority, floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Two questions. Number one, in line 20, the third word is agency, shouldn't that be department? And then the second thing is we passed legislation just recently out of this body requiring data aggregation in our baseline monitoring bill, and we required a repository for that information so that we could defend ourselves from federal intrusion. And so my concern is, number one, the April 1st, 2012 date, because our legislation will become effective if it passes the body on the other end next week. And so that is a concern. The next thing is, when you paint these things with a broad brush, I understand what the bringer of the amendment is going to do, but the broad brush approach to things seems to be working to hamstring us, and that would be a concern. And for those things that are valuable data integrations, like the Department of Agriculture sharing information with fire service on and the tier two filings, so that you have a beetle kill area where there's a forest fire going, and you aggregate that data with the tier two filing so that you know where the hazardous materials are stored in those files. I think that those are valuable uses, or parks and cultural resources sharing data with the fire service about archaeological sites so they don't run a blade line through the middle of them, and aggregating that kind of information. There seem to be lots of valuable data aggregation things that we can do. I just don't want to spend all of next legislative session going down a list of valuable things that we're going to do, because we passed on third reading an amendment that was a broad brush amendment when it could have been more narrowly crafted.
Still on Division 2 for your first time, Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the last session, this body passed the bill that brought this position into existence, and rather resoundingly, now we're telling that entity that we created that we're not going to allow you to do our job, let you do your job without us micromanaging everything you do. If that was the case, then why did we even create this position in the first place? It shouldn't be the will of this body to get into micromanaging specific agencies and putting fences around something that this body does not have the expertise to do. So on and against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Teeters, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on in support of the amendment, I think the question about the GIS data is easily dealt with, because that's not a database. That's a piece of information. And so that information could obviously be integrated. Also, if it's previously been done, it's been previously done, and we have that experience to rely on to justify why we're doing it into the future. As far as specific legislation is dealt with in this amendment, because if we pass a law, it is not subject to this process. So the argument about the bill that we've got pending that may be enacted after or before, it doesn't make any difference. If we bring legislation that deals with two databases and integrates data, the law is not subject to this provision. So I don't think this is a big deal. I think this will assuage a lot of the concern out there, and I would urge your adoption.
Representative Freeman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've sat in a lot of meetings in education in the last 5-6 years, and one of the big things that has been said over and over again is that we have different databases that we can't get information that we need. For example, how many people that drop out of high school go on to community colleges, and whether or not that's a success or not. Workforce after they complete a community college certificate or a degree, that they get into the workforce, and what kind of jobs that they get. We have been told for a long time that if we can have the mechanism to where that we can track that kind of data, we know whether or not that our educational system is much or how effective it is. I am kind of scared that we've wanted that information for a long time. We've worked for that, and I don't know if this bill or this amendment handicaps that kind of data recovery. And I would just like clarification on that.
Representative Peasley, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm really out of my element when I'm talking computers. I never knew what the word troglodyte meant until somebody described me as a computer troglodyte. But this is exactly, as I understand the good bringer of the bill, what you're saying is exactly what I've been hearing is the intent of the bill. And I've been inundated with emails and contacts and concerns, and I was told the very thing that you have in this bill. And now I'm hearing us back off from that. Would you make it a little clearer in your final comments as to we've been told one thing, that this is not going to represent an exponential growth in government, and at the same time we're hearing debate that we want to continue to have this flexibility and trust in this new entity we're going to create. So I'm concerned about the bill as it is. I appreciate the amendment you brought, and it seems to address most of my people's concerns, but I got to get it better in my head, so help me out. Thank you.
Chairman Lockhart, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment and in favor of the bill, the report came from Management Council, on which I sit and others, and at least I saw the broad explanation of what they're doing to include some of these things that we're not wise enough to see right now and have not yet had legislation for, to make our state government more efficient, to do the right things for the right reasons. I'm afraid if we have to have legislation and legislation only for these kinds of connects in this area, that I'm probably the most Neanderthal of the group, I think we'd be limiting ourselves. So I'd urge your defeat of the amendment and support of the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time? Second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll just go through these quickly. To the good representative from House District 56, talking about the wording in here, the department shall not integrate in a database in any agency with another database unless the agency is, as of April 1st, providing enterprise data analytics service. So, again, what we're saying here, because of the definitions of the bill, is that all of the data enterprise services that are happening right now, we have computers that are connected to each other in different agencies, and they're speaking to each other, or they're working together. That's not going to affect any of that. This is simply codifying what we on appropriations, what I have continued to hear over and over again about having a completely integrated database for the entire state. We've been assured that that is not going to happen. And this is simply saying it isn't going to happen without some form of legislative oversight. So they're not going to be able to just integrate. Because remember, go through the bill. I read it again this morning. I've read this thing so many times I could almost say it out loud. There's nothing in here prohibiting them from doing that specifically. They have lots of rulemaking power. They have lots of general authority power. There's not a lot of prohibiting. So I hope that answers that question. To the good representative from House District 31, I think that my good representative from Goshen County answered some of my understanding and the understanding of the definitions there in data collection versus databases. Again, data collection is happening, and the good OCIO who testified in appropriations said that he is simply on the advice or on the asking of different agencies going to go in and help their computers to aggregate data that they already have. This won't prohibit that because that's already happening. They're already working on doing those things. So all this says is you cannot create a massive database. Data collection is still happening and will continue to happen. To the good representative who talked about micromanaging, what I would say is restraining government is not micromanaging. It's our duty. That's what we're elected to come here and do. At least that's my fundamental philosophy, is that everything that I look at when I look in bills is about restraining government. Where do I put restraints? Because the natural tendency of government is to grow. And so from the founders on, I mean, our Constitution is a document of restraint. So I don't see it as micromanaging. I see it as restraining. We're back here in 9 months. we certainly can go through. And, you know, the good chairwoman from Appropriations spoke about phase two, and I've heard that. And what I hear a lot of comments about what they want out of this new department, to me, sound like phase two. And I'm not saying that we aren't headed down that road. What I'm saying is that I think we need to let this department very narrowly begin and then allow the people of this state to have buy-in to phase two, which going down the road is ultimately going to be, I think, a much larger endeavor than what we have. To the good representative from House District 3, who is not as computer literate as he'd like to be, he spoke to exactly my concerns, and I think the concerns of our good constituents, and that is about the mixed messaging that we've heard about this bill. Because, again, when you read through the bill, it isn't necessarily what's in it, it's what's not in it that is so alarming to so many people. And while we've heard a lot of things in testimony about what they're not going to do, and I think that's great, that's just a lot of good intentions. That doesn't satisfy your constituents, however. They want to know that there's something in the bill that's at least mildly restraining their concerns. I don't think these two sentences, couple of, you know, lines, is going to end all of our hopes and dreams. We're back here in 9 months, and we are endeavoring to give this department a huge undertaking. I would strongly urge that you support Division 2 in a way to just try to slow down the fears and concerns of the good people of this state, who I think we should listen to and shouldn't marginalize. So I'm asking for support on Division 2. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on Division 2, third reading, Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 33. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. All those in favor, please stand. Division 2 to third reading, Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 33 has failed. Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading, Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 33, and I will withdraw it at the appropriate time. Well, I just want to let you all know that, you know, I've heard a lot of testimony on this bill, obviously more than most of you have sitting on appropriations. And when I began this odyssey on Senate File 33, I really appreciated the things that we were trying to do, and I really agreed with a lot of the things, because I heard a lot of words that I like, transparency and we're putting all these things together. We're saving money. We're slowing down on processes. So when it takes one of our state employees 45 minutes to fill out a form to get a mouse, who doesn't want that? I mean, who doesn't want that to go away? That seems silly, and we want those kinds of efficiencies in government. So why in the world wouldn't we like that? And I think that's true. And then I started getting emails and phone calls from constituents, some of my own and some of yours, and they were concerned. And I thought, well, phooey, they haven't heard everything that I've heard, and they certainly don't know what I know, so maybe they don't know what they're talking about. But it didn't sit well with me. I just kept thinking, you know, the good folks in this state, I have such great confidence in them. You can't put your name on a ballot and not have confidence in the people of this state, and know that they're going to go and do the right thing. And you know that they're involved and out there listening and reading. And so I went back and I read the bill again, and I had my husband read the bill, and I had a couple people I know and trust read the bill. And what all of them kept saying or came back and said was, it's not really what's in the bill. It's what's not in the bill that's so troubling. It's where are we going with this? What is the plan? And these seems like really broad powers. So I went back and I read it again, and then I realized everything that I have heard that kind of calmed my fears were all simply testimony from state employees and agencies. It wasn't in the bill. My fundamental principle is that we want to keep government small and we want to keep government restrained. And so that's why I brought these amendments and what I thought were really little compromises. The pushback, however, that I got from downstairs felt a little bit like using a nuclear bomb on a gnat. And that really concerned me more. That was way more troubling to me because I don't believe that I've added or was attempting to add anything too terribly restraining. And yet the pushback was severe. So that just raised all of my flags. I really do believe in the people of Wyoming. I think they have good common sense. I think they certainly want us to streamline government. I think they certainly want us to keep government small. We've had assurances, and certainly at this very moment in this bill, we know that we're consolidating state employees that exist right now. But yet I question, does that mean that this agency is not going to grow any larger? Well, of course it is. And the endeavor that you all have come to the mic and said you want them to do means that it'll mean more employees. So we shouldn't be making promises to constituents that this means that government's going to be smaller, because I think we know that it won't be. The other thing that really compelled me as I sat back and going through the budget bill, and you saw it when we worked the budget, you know, line after line, there were savings that put in there that the OCIO had done, because he had been sort of a central place of procurement for our equipment. And that's a really overarching theme that's been used in this bill. But you have to realize something. He did all that without this bill. He did that in the capacity he already has. He did it by making him the procurement officer, by our current governor and his wisdom of sending all IT requests through the OCIO, which I think is good. I had people come to me and say, well, why don't you just have a procurement officer? I mean, that seems simpler. I thought, that's right. That's a simple way of doing this. Why don't we just do that? And then we can talk about data and why exactly are we creating another department? I read the report from the management audit. There are recommendations that they made that there are things in this bill that weren't recommended. So there's broader stripes in this bill than in that report. So I'm going to urge caution. I know this is difficult. It's a third reading of bill. We all feel like, gee, golly, we got to get her done, and because they want it, they want it. Well, I was really elected to hear what the people want, and I very much appreciate the vision that the man downstairs might have, but I'm going to err on the side of caution. I'm going to err on the side of my constituents, and I'm going to vote no, and I hope you'll join me.
Just before we continue, there's kind of a fine line when we refer to other branches of government and other bodies within our own branch. Refrain from making reference to those other entities if it's dealing with their specific position or on this matter or something they've done or said. We try to keep the rules of our debate and the decisions we make in this body confined to this body on our own reasoning, analytics, and argument. There are other times it is appropriate in broad reference to agencies or the function of government in the executive branch, but just try to, it's hard to identify, but try to identify that distinction and stay within our own chamber. Having said that, Chairman Illaway, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can't believe, I've been in here 14 years. This is one of those times where the emails have filled up my smartphone, and there hasn't been one email that says support this piece of legislation. So I just wonder, is there something in here that I don't see? Obviously, there must be, because somebody else sees something. I'm concerned about hackers. If we consolidate everything, I'm concerned about hackers. Don't know whether it'll happen. Don't know whether, if you do this with health care and so forth, whether it makes hackers more able to get in. I don't know. Just a question. I notice on in one of the pages in here, I remember reorganization of state government. And for some reason, we said that state government shall be organized into not more than 15 departments, principal departments, and we changed it, and now it's 16. I notice on page 21 of the bill, it says the agency's action will result in at least 10% savings compared to the cost of similar services. How do we know that? Maybe it's 15%. Maybe it's 5%. I don't know. But I think it's a little strange that we put it's going to save 10%. What are you going to do next year if it's only saved 7? And my last comment is, since we did change the statutes to allow 16 departments, wouldn't it have been smart of us maybe to go back and see if we could have got rid of a department and just stayed with 15? I don't know. But it's, I asked the question yesterday. I just hope, in your wise thoughts, that this department isn't going to just grow exponentially, and state government also. I think we need to watch exactly what we're doing and be very careful.
Representative Yagi, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When I saw this bill the first time, I just was concerned with it. And so that concern has been there, and I've got all kinds of notes written as we've gone through first, second debates on this. And then I started getting lots of emails that are very concerned about it. And I just wonder why we're in such a hurry to get this done. Why don't we look at it? Why isn't there a little transition period, see what we can do? I don't think evidently the public has heard much about this from the amount of emails we're getting, because all of a sudden they're very concerned with it. And I did like the idea that, you know, we were going to pull everybody together and get all the equipment we needed for all the agencies. That sounded like a good deal, but then it just started taking off more and more and more. And I, too, am concerned with the public records in one big place. And my last comment is, and you can imagine that I would say this, adding bureaucracy doesn't make government more efficient. So I'm worried about this. Thank you.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There have been a lot of doubts raised in my mind as I've examined this bill more and more, and I don't want to be in a position where I go home and tell my constituents that we passed a bill so that we could find out what it does and what's in it. I don't think that's why we run so well as a body here. I think caution is in order. If we're going to make a mistake, let's make a mistake by being too cautious and studying this too much. And I don't see what harm can come by putting it off a year and giving us an intern to study it. We may decide that next year it's good policy, but I would rather proceed with caution, vote no, give us some more time to study it, and if we study it more and find out it's good, we can pass it next year.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time? Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And Mr. Speaker and members of the body, I apologize if I stretched the rules. I wanted to try to paint a picture of my decision-making process, and it did involve some outside sources, but I will be much more careful in the future. But it did have an effect on me. Ladies and gentlemen, 9 months from now, we'll be back here. Certainly, we've seen the skill of the department already in the budget process, and I have no doubt we will continue to capitalize on that skill and grow from it, and I have no doubt that we will learn and get better. And oftentimes in this body, in my time here, I've discovered that sometimes when we kill a bill at the 11th hour like this, the bill that comes back is just stronger. And it's just better. It's a better bill. It makes people less concerned. It strengthens our position. And it really does what we want, and we have a better grasp on it. And I know it's hard at the 11th hour to say no, because you're thinking, oh, But we've done it before, and I've seen the results before, and you've seen the results before, and they have been better. They've been stronger. They're results that we can go to our constituents and say to them, we did it right this time. It was just not quite right the first time, and that's okay. So for those reasons, I hope that you will join me and have the courage, and let's let this be a topic to discuss in the interim, to study hard and to achieve the things we want to achieve in a manner that keeps the constituents and the people of Wyoming comfortable. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And, Mr. Speaker, I withdraw third reading amendment number one.
Thank you. Third reading amendment number one to Senate File 33 having been withdrawn, and Senate File 33 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Favuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman. Gay.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles excused. Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Moniz. Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
No.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish.
No.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 32 aye, 27 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 33, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 33 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 40.
Senate File 40, introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to the judicial branch regarding judicial salaries, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 40, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird. Bird. Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison. Edmonds.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles excused. Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Conflict.
Peasley. Conflict. Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
No.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Swanitzer
Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 45 aye, 13 no, 1 excused, 1 conflict.
In Senate File 40, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 40 has passed the House. We are at that order of business, reading and signing of enrolled acts. Get my little list. Reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
House Enrolled Act number 8, the original House Bill number 32. An act relating to state legislative districts being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign enrolled act number 8 being original House Bill 32. I have so signed.
Senate Enrolled Act number 1 being original, Senate File number 3, an act relating to the Secretary of State.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 1 being original, Senate File number 3. I have so signed.
Senate Enrolled Act number 2 being original Senate File 7, an act relating to election districts.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 2 being original Senate File number 7. I have so signed.
Senate Enrolled Act number 3 being original Senate File 15, an act relating to the University of Wyoming.
About signed Enrolled Act number 3 being original Senate File number 15. I have so signed.
Senate Enrolled Act number 4 being original Senate File 22, an act relating to public health and safety.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 4 being original Senate File number 22. I have so signed.
Senate Enrolled Act number 5 being original Senate File 23, an act relating to criminal procedure being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I've signed Enrolled Act number 5 being original Senate File number 23. I have so signed.
Senate Enrolled Act number 6 being original Senate File number 39, an act relating to child support being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 6 being original Senate File 39. I have so signed.
Senate Enrolled Act number 7 being original Senate File 45, an act relating to alcohol being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 7 to original Senate File 45. I have so signed.
Senate Enrolled Act number 8 being original Senate File 74, an act relating to severance taxes being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 8 on original Senate File number 74. I have so signed.
Senate Enrolled Act number 9 being original Senate File number 105. School capital construction account being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 9 being original Senate File 105. I have so signed. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred Senate Joint Resolution 2 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Byrd, Hunt, Kasparic, Lockhart, Muniz, Roscoe, Stubson, Swanitzer, Dave, no, Greer, signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
We are at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole. We have a revised list out with 22 bills on it. Like to get through as many as we can. We'll see what happens.
You want to make a motion?
I thought I did. I move that the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House has resolved itself into Committee of the Whole. Representative Byrd.
Committee of the Whole will now come to order. A little personal privilege, keeping with my predecessors in this chair. A little on this day in history. On this day in 1904, Theodore Geisel, better known to the world as Dr. Seuss, the author and illustrator of beloved children's books such as Cat in the Hat and my personal favorite, Green Eggs and Ham, was born in Springfield, Massachusetts. So with that, we will start the first bill for our consideration is Senate File 97. You have heard, the reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 97, introduced by Senator Von Flattern, an act relating to the Wyoming Retirement Act. This file was sent to the Appropriation Committee, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Escobel, Harshman, Stewart, Wallace. No, Edmonds, Pedersen. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 97 do pass, and I defer to my inside expert on retirement system from Cheyenne.
Representative Pedersen.
Thank you, Chairman Byrd. I'm going to do two things with this bill. I'd like to explain the bill and give everybody a chance what the bill's like and do is going to do, and then I would like the opportunity to speak on it separately. But in order to go over the bill, I'd like to tell you what's in, and I gave you guys a terrific folder, and so now would be a good time to go to your white folder here, and the best way to articulate what's going to happen in the bill is with the very first charts that are underneath the blue tab, which is the third tab in. What was brought to us in the interim is because we've been studying in the Joint Appropriations Committee the ability for the fund, in the retirement fund, to be able to remain solvent. And if you'll remember, last time around, we increased the contribution rate by 2.87%, 1.43 from the employee and 1.44 from the state in order to help maintain the fund. It was an increase from 11.25% to 14.12% in order to keep us solvent and keep us able to keep the promise that we made to fund the retirement account. Well, there are some issues that still are within the account that need to be addressed. And it's truly a solvency issue. We are not at a red flag, but we are at a yellow caution flag in here. And so we needed to look in the interim time about different ways to take on make sure that we could keep the promise to public employees. A couple different bills came out. One we heard about for about 2 minutes, and then this bill is also in front of you. But this bill will do a great job of, what I'm going to do is I'm going to articulate to you the thought process that went through, what the suggestion from the board came in the Wyoming retirement system, and then how that's implemented into this bill. And if you look here on the very first page here in the underneath the blue tab, what you have is an actuarial cost study. This is an estimated actuarial cost study. And what I'd like to do is talk about it in columns and so that we can go over it together. The very first column there goes over what's in all the across items. It's a benefit multiplier, final average salary, normal retirement, assumed asset return, and then the years that begin with 2011 through 2040. And then you have what are the factors that go in. The beginning one is the valuation, the current valuation when this was run April 19th, 2011. And the benefit multiplier was, just a multiplier of your benefit that's put in there. People who have worked less than 15 years get 2.125 as their to help grow their benefit, and then people who have been there greater than 15 years get 2.25. It's an incentivization to help retain people, to help them work longer and stay in the system. Then your final benefit is calculated over your final 3 years. And that's done because those are, typically your highest 3 years, and you get your benefit accordingly. And then a normal retirement age is you must be 60 with the rule of 85, and what that means is that your total age plus the number of years you worked must equal 85. And then the final piece there is the assumed rate of return, and that's 8%. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go across these columns and talk about how it comes together, but I want to begin with what the issue is, and that's that funded ratio. And that funded ratio, you'll see in 2011, when this was put together, was 84.6%. And then you can see that by 2040, it's 77.2%. What is a funded ratio? That's your ability to cover your debt. We can cover 84% of our liability. Our liability is the promises we made to keep a benefit for our current workers when they retire and our current retirees. And so that represents somewhere between a $1 billion to $1.4 billion shortfall at 84. And you can see that what we had there, the way that we were currently running it, it was declining down to where in 2040 it was about a 77.2% actuarial ability to cover our debt. So it was a declining ability to cover our liability. So a couple things came in front of the committee, and you see there study 1, 2, 3, 4, and it comes on the next page all the way through. And so what we said is, so what if you change some of these original assumptions? What if you drop the benefit multiplier to 2%? Well, as you can see in study 1, it takes us from 84.6 down to 82.2. Doesn't make it necessarily better, but what it does is it's better than the 77.2%. And then we said, okay, what if your final average salary wasn't calculated over 3 years? What if it was over 5? And so the idea there is that, let's say that's your last 5 years and you get a pay raise your third year before retirement, 3 years before retirement, or 2 years before retirement. Well, then your average would be higher because if it's calculated over your final 5 years, well, you didn't get a pay raise in those first two. And so what ends up happening is you're more likely to lower the average of what your final salary computation would be because it's over 5 instead of 3. So you're spreading it out over greater years, and it helps to lower that benefit liability. And that one you can see took 84 to 80. And then, playing with more numbers, what would happen if you had the rule of 60, but you had 90 as it? So you had to have your age plus the number of years add up to 90. And then what if it was 62? With the rule of 85, and you can see there, not a lot of improvement between those two. But when you get to the second page here, and these are studies 5 through 8, and what you see is that these are, it's 6, 7, and 8, because 5 is just another version, but 6, 7, 8 are combinations of what can be done to if you did each one of these in different modules, how would they affect? And study 8 is really the way that you see the bill today. And how it affects it is that new employees hired would have their benefit multiplier would be 2%. Instead of their final average being spread over 3 years, it's spread over 5. So you get a lower number there. And then age retirement is 65 with rule of 85. So you have to be 65 with the total with your age and the number of years you work must add up to 85. And you can see there that of the studies that we've done, this one makes the largest effect. You see we go from 84 to in 2040, you have a 87.6% actuarially funded. And that was how the methodology of this bill came forward. This was we had a couple of different ideas in appropriations, and some of us did one and some did the other, and this would be the other, and this was the idea, and this is my attempt to explain to you some of the things that were on this bill. And so with that, I'll stop my explanation.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the explanation from my seatmate in appropriations. This is kind of odd. I didn't know this was going to happen this way today. You'll notice his name's not on the bill, but I appreciate his expert explanation. Just a little history. This bill is really part of the fix. And as the good appropriations members spoke out, we used to have a 2.0 multiplier. That was changed. That was part of the problem that happened to the fund. There's another bill coming on COLAs. That'll be part of the fix. But the multiplier, and it shows you in study 8, 2.0 for all years. It's the way it was for most of the fund's history. And then the 5 year and the 60 rules, the 65 age of retirement as opposed to 60. All these things will be fixes. But I tell you another key part, and I'll bring the amendment on second reading, is really to increase contribution rates. Not only for these new folks, but really for us folks who are in the system, myself and others. And most of these funds need to be about 18% contribution. Currently, I think the employee share that is not paid by the state is really only a little over 1%. So we want to raise that up a little bit. And certainly for new hires, and that will be part of the fix, and this will quickly get up to 100% funding level again. And, you know, we had this debate earlier. This body soundly rejected that idea of moving from this benefit. We have one of the most well-funded, well-run programs in the United States, and it would really be a shame to just throw out some of these things that are small changes but can make a huge difference. And so I encourage your support for the bill. And I think this odd presentation now, I think my good friend is probably going to speak against it. And I think we've had this debate and we've talked about it. But I'd encourage you to pass this bill, and we'll bring more amendments to increase contribution and get this thing back to 100% funding. And then with the COLA bill that is coming that this floor will see, I think, maybe on Monday, we'll provide another piece of this. So we got a suite of bills coming. And one last thing on the history of this bill. The reason why it's got names on there and not Joint Appropriations Committee, because it failed by one vote. And it failed not because there was a group in our committee that didn't like it. There were groups on far ends that voted no. One couple folks didn't want any changes. And other folks wanted to junket the whole system and go to a defined contribution plan. And when they all voted no, then this bill failed a committee sponsorship by one vote. So you can see the members of the committee, they're all appropriations committee in the Senate and the House. So that's a little history on it. So appreciate your support for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to commend the appropriations member from District 7 for the fine presentation. The only thing I can add to this, because I serve on the retirement board as a liaison, but in our consideration of this menu of options,
what we looked at that in connection with peer groups. In other words, what does this state or that state and neighboring states? And we compared all of the different similar type retirement systems to see, well, what kind of multiplier do they have and what's their normal retirement age and so on. And to make a long story short, we're kind of on the luxury side of all of those. There is no similar retirement system that has a multiplier of, what was it, 2.25 for any time you serve beyond 15 years. Well, that costs a lot of money and makes it a real drain on the funded ratio of the thing. The other one is the normal retirement age. The retirement age that we have now is less than what the going rate is in all the other states. Not to say that you can't find a state somewhere that has a lower retirement age, but most of them are have a higher retirement age. The other one, the averaging process for your final average salary, 3 years is the exception, not the rule. There's more than are at five. So the thing that's interesting, the reason I urge you to support this bill, is that if we get back to a normal menu of benefits, and I say normal in relation to all the other similarly situated states, then all of a sudden you see that the funded ratio goes up gradually. And of course, the reason it does go up gradually at first is because it takes a while to work through the system and have new employees at that entitled to that modified menu of benefits. So I urge you to support this bill. It's important, as you can see by looking at where we are now, and if we didn't do nothing, what would happen? The only alternative is to continually increase the contribution rates. And, you know, we just did that a couple of years ago, and I think that the next thing is, you know, why not get back to the usual and customary menu of benefits? And that's why I urge you to support this this bill.
Representative Pedersen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And here's the spot that the good representative coach referred to. It's going to get weird. I made a promise to my chairman that I would articulate to you what the intent of the bill and so that we all understood what it was and these pieces. But now I'm going to tell you why you should vote against it right here on Committee of the Whole. Where this comes is the further explanation of what it is that's actually happening here and what it is that this bill actually doesn't do and doesn't address real problems that are within the bill. And that's a structural issue within the bill. A couple of things that got us to where we are today is, if you remember, we were at 11.25% in our contribution rate, and that amount is not high enough to give COLAs. It is not structurally set up to give COLAs. And that's testimony also from the Wyoming retirement system. We gave a series of COLAs out of it, and we gave them in good times when we had high numbers. And what happens is when that peak goes up and you shave off the top, when the drop happens, you're dropping from a lower spot. And so it hits us lower and lower and lower and lower. Right now we've got a contribution rate of 14.12% of every employee's of the total compensation of the employees that goes into this. And all of our surrounding states that actually give a COLA have a contribution rate of somewhere between 17 and 18% when you have a built-in COLA. So we're still about 4% short of being able to do the types of things that we've already done. And where this all comes together is what I want to show you of how fragile this is and how we're not addressing the issue through this bill. We're in fact just kicking the can further down the road for a future legislature and creating inequity and also creating an opportunity for people to come in and vote and a massive constituency that will try and change this in a very short period of time. Flip the page to the next page. This was an estimated actuarial cost study that was done on this bill. And what you have is a couple of things in here that are done as estimators or how this would affect the fund or how this would move going forward. If you take a look here and you look at what was in on this page, you've got study 8, updated 8, study 1 and 2 there on this appendix A. In study 8, you see that's the updated number. So Why did it go from 84 to 81? Well, because that 84 was a 2011 number, and 81 is just bumped up. So it's just the previous study to reflect the beginning of this year when this was submitted to JAC on January 17, 2012. And what you've got there is how the study works with an 8% average annual return within there, and you can see that it makes it to 87. Let's go to an updated study, 8, with an assumption of a 0% return last year. And what is this fund giving us? About, I think the number is about 4.2% for 10 years and about 3.6% for the last 5 years, so it is an 8. And that's part of the reason we are. And that's not the fault of the board. I've sat as a liaison on that board, too. It's not a fault of the board. What it is you can't make an assumption for economic returns that the economy can't give you. When you have housing crisis and you have a dot-com bust and you have oil, all these different pieces, you've made an assumption of 8 that was incapable of doing. That's not anybody's fault. That's just the way that the economy and the market returns. So let's take a look at study 1 and 2. Actually updated study 8 and study 2. So let's go with the percent. So you get a 0% return last year, just to show you how shaky this is. And then you get 8 every year after that. So we got 0 last year, and we get 8 every year after that. You notice when you drop down to 2025 is when you hit a 71.6% actuarial funding rate ratio. Why is that number important? Well, somewhere between 2025 and 2030, you cross 70. And 70% actuarially funded is, in fact, unfunded. When you talk about pension systems that are unfunded, 70 is the accepted actuarial number. 70 is when you've hit the point that you are the cheese state and you're cutting benefits and you're making all these tough decisions. That's where you end up in the Sunshine State. That's where you end up in the Beehive State. That's where you end up up in the Windy City Territory. That's where you end up in the Big Apple. All of these different places who have all been faced with this issue, they didn't hit zero. They crossed 70 when they had to start making decisions. And so let's look at study 1 and study 2, because I requested these pieces to be done. What if you didn't hit? What if you didn't hit 8? So in study number 1, you can see there that you drop down on that funded ratio. So you got 0 last year, and you get just 7 3/4. So 0.25% average annual return less. All of a sudden, in 2020, you hit the line where you're actuarially unfunded. And then when you move, and then let's go over. So let's say you got 0.5% less, just 7.5. 7.5 is not that much less than 8. But you take a look at this, in 2015 is when you're making those decisions. 2015, that's all the farther you've kicked the can down the road. You kicked it down 3 years with this. You take a look and you flip the page, the next page of there. This is an important piece. This is something you need to keep in mind here. This is the current asset allocation as of 9/30/2012. And you go over a 5 to 7 year assumption return rate of return and a 30-year rate of return assumption. In the 5 to 7 year, in the far right column, current actual expected rate of return is 7.1. Remember I said 7.5 is a point where things start to go awry? Well, 5 to 7 years assumed rate of return is 7.1. And let's move down further there, and a 30-year assumed rate of return is 7.8. So for 30 years, we're still underneath the estimated rate of return of 8. And so that puts you somewhere between that 2020-2025 time horizon that we saw on the previous page. I don't think that this is a I don't view this as a fix at all. I don't view this as this is going to address anything. I think that what you're going to end up here is something totally different. And you start to look at it this way. What you've done is you've created two different groups of people who you've given a benefit to. And they're in the same system. See, before, when we talked about breaking it up and say you've got a defined benefit and defined contribution, you've said these are two dynamically different systems, two dynamically different expectations. But what you've done within this system is you've said everybody's in the same system, but you just get different benefits. So everybody new who comes in gets a lower benefit because they have a lower benefit multiplier. Their average, their final salary is over 5 years instead of 3. And they have to work longer. And so you say you work longer, you get less of benefit. By the way, you pay the same, and you're just not going to get much out. Well, just walk yourself down the road. We're 20 years from now, you know. And right now, you got the breakup is about 35,000 people in here, about a little over 20,000 are working employees. So now you've got about 20,000 working employees who say to the future legislatures, We've been working same job as the guy who was hired 2 years before me. Same work, making the same contributions, doing the same stuff, and you're going to tell me I get a benefit reduction because I didn't complete college on time and was born too late, and you get all these inequity pieces. What's going to happen is the pressure is going to be on the body at that time to put in several hundred million dollars more to make it equal, to make it fair. And if you don't think you're going to get that pressure, you're wrong. You're going to get that pressure. And when you move forward, you know, within this piece, and I put it on there, just for your information, as far as what other states are doing with this 8%, because it's the 8% that ends up being the problem. It's not these little adjustments aren't it. You can do two things. One is you can increase the contribution rate to 18%. These little adjustments aren't going to fix it. And or two, you flat out admit that 8% isn't the number. But that would put everything on the emergency room table. And what you end up with is if you flip into the yellow section, most states are assuming an 8%. Some are down to 7.5%. Some are even a little bit over 8% as you look through this. But in the orange section, which is 5 tabs down, and you look at article from the Oracle of Omaha, runs a little fund. He believes that number should be 6.5% is what you should be basing it on. 6.5%, not 8%. And we said, you know, at 7.5% we can't meet our obligations, and we're looking at 7.1%. I don't see this as a fix. I see this as something that then we don't run into a problem for next election. So you get 2 more years out of this. Maybe a continent away, no one will have any issues with default on the government. Maybe in a strait where most of our oil comes from, it won't be closed. Maybe, and maybe our GDP will continue to grow and we'll do all these wonderful things. And then I'll be wrong, and we got 8%. But you know, those other factors still being in there, there's a lot of ways that this, and it's a fragile system. And I don't view this as a fix. And I said I view this as a grape to fill a hole the size of a watermelon. And I don't see this as work. And I don't think this is the right methodology to take this on. If we want to look at it again, you got a different idea or a better way to do it, I encourage that. But this isn't it. This is not the way to take it on. So I'm done. But I'd encourage you to no vote.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Eloquent address. I was curious. We started off, I thought we were for the bill, and then we had a demonstration, I guess, against the bill. One of the things that I would like to have cleared up, that maybe this is one of those issues, I think if I understand it, everybody can understand it. And on this one, what is actuarially sound when you take the element of time and include it in that definition so that everybody could understand what actuarially sound actually means so that it can be a part of our conversation understood?
Representative Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just as an explanation of what the actuarial study and actuarial soundness is. When you do an actuarial study, you're factoring in everybody's current, you're factoring all everything. You're factoring in everybody's current age, their current wages, when they're most likely to retire, when they're most likely to age out. That's the term they use in actuarial studies, is when everybody's likely to age out. So just don't age out longer and you're fine, or don't retire earlier or later. But what it is an estimation, and the actuary makes these assumptions. And the number for actuarially sound is when you're essentially above 70. Above 70 is still in a safe zone. It's when you cross 70 that you have and below 70 is when you have an issue. And the reason why 70 is because it's considered that that's when it's too tough to make it up with contributions or market performance. And so you don't have those issues, and so you have to dump in general funds, or you have to dump in a tax, or you have to cut benefits, or you have to raise contributions, or some combination thereof, or all of the above. And so when we look at this, those are some of the issues that come in. Now, are we actuarially sound? The answer is yes, because you saw in there we're above 70. Currently, this fund is actuarially sound. That's a fact. But when you look at projections provided not by me, but by the Wyoming Retirement System, based on a series of factors that can take place, it's just not very far down the road that we have to face this. And this is part of the educational process that I wanted to have as we talk about some of these issues, is that we all need to know this. And if you choose to move forward with this as a patch to buy us more time for when we have to make a real decision, that's fine. But this is part of the conversations. We all need to be aware of this, because I've used this before as we, you know, you debate $20,000 because we all haggle $20,000 on our house because we get it. But this is a $1 billion to $1.4 billion unfunded liability. And if you look, 9-3-428 Romanet 2 tells you that nothing in here can be construed to be an obligation of any kind of the state. And so that's an educational piece that needs to happen, because I think a lot of people think that this is a guarantee, and it is not. And if the state ever can't fund it, it will have to look at ways to come up. It will have to look at either benefit cuts or general funds or any number of ways to do it. But your explanation on actuarial soundness, that's the measuring tool. That's where it comes in, and that's what the accepted form is. But I'll leave it at that. Maybe more questions.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We all understand and agree that there's a problem. Killing this bill on general file doesn't solve the problem. The bill title's broad enough so that if this isn't the fix, then we should bring a fix on Second Amendment that does fix the problem. But I would urge you all to consider voting aye on general file and getting to a fix rather than voting no, killing the bill and killing our only vehicle to address the problem that still remains in this legislative session.
I have a question. Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Berger's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to do so, with the recommendation that Senate file number 97 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. Senate file 97 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 42. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 42, introduced by Select Natural Resource Funding, an act relating to the Wyoming Wildlife Natural Resource Funding Act. This file was sent to committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Connolly, Davison, McKim, McCormey, Petroff. No, Yagi, Reeder, signed, representing McCormey, chairman.
You've heard the reading.
Excuse me, sir. The file was further sent to committee number 2, Appropriations, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart. No, Wallace, signed, representing Berger, chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman McCormey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, that it do so with the recommendation that Senate file 42 do pass. And I further, Mr. Chairman, would turn the explanation of it over to the gentleman that sits as the chair, House chair of the committee that works with the cultural funds.
That would be Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, just an ever so brief review. We created the Wildlife Trust Fund, and Section 9-15-103D prescribes the things that the funds from the Wildlife Trust Fund can be expended on. And among others, and I'm not going to read them all, but among others, improvement and maintenance of existing terrestrial habitat necessary to maintain optimum wildlife populations, preservation of open spaces by purchase or acquisition of development rights, acquisition of habitat where existing habitat is determined critical, conservation, maintenance, protection, and development of wildlife resources, the environment, and Wyoming's natural resource heritage. I think we always need to go back to those objectives and make sure that we are consistent with those when we consider funding the large projects. And you may recall that large projects are defined as those that involve an expenditure of $200,000 or more, and there is a rule followed religiously by the Wildlife Trust Fund that says that if projects in an area aggregate more than $200,000, even though the individual components might be less than that, that they treat it as a large project and bring it to the Large Project Funding Committee. So here we are with this bill. It has the projects for this year in it. Those projects have all been very carefully vetted by first the Wildlife Trust Fund Board and then by the Large Projects Committee. And as you look at these projects, one of the things that I think one ought to be impressed with is the leverage that the Wildlife Trust Fund is getting on this money. They're not spending a dollar for a dollar of benefit. And the leverage that they're getting with their money varies from project to project, but it ranges from 4 to 1 to as high as 20 to 1 with an average of 9.5 to 1. So that means, on the average, for each dollar they put in, they're getting $9.5 from other sources. Well, what are those other sources? Federal, game and fish, special environmental funds, and a host of other contributors that contribute to this. You may have also seen, wasn't too long ago, there was a study done and an article in the paper, which I don't have at the moment, that showed how many jobs the Wildlife Trust Fund creates as it funds these projects and carries them on. So this bill, Mr. Chairman, contains the projects, and just as an illustration of the leverage, if you look on page 3 of the bill, on this first one, this first conservation easement, the total budget's $1,824,000. The Wildlife Trust Fund is going to put in $273,600. So we appropriate $273,600, and that leverages its way to a total project expenditure of $1,824,000. That's just typical of what goes on in here. All the projects are listed. The majority are conservation easements. The reason the majority are conservation easements is because at the moment there is a lot of federal funding available for conservation easements. That won't always be the case. There are many other things that the Wildlife Trust Fund is authorized to do, and it's doing some of those. There's a great big willow restoration project, multi-year project that's going on up in the middle of the state. There's been a lot of work done on cutting Russian olive trees, which have a tendency to have huge reductions in the groundwater in an area where they grow. There's all kinds of habitat projects going on. It's just that at the moment there is such an abundance of federal money available that a lot of these conservation easements are being done. And for the leverage that we're getting, they're a great expenditure by the state. Now, the last thing I'd say, Mr. Chairman, is that I think it's important to look at Sections 3 and 4 of this bill, which are on page 24 and 25. And Section 3 says that each one of the conservation easements authorized by this act shall include the state of Wyoming as a third-party beneficiary. That is something that we've worked on to be sure that the state of Wyoming has a continuing enforcement right and a continuing participation in these conservation easements, and I think, especially for conservation easements, I think that's important. It's for all projects, but especially for conservation easements. And then Section 4 says that before any distribution of funds is made, there has to be a certification by the person receiving the funds that there haven't been any gratuities, kickbacks, or any of that sort of thing. So, Mr. Chairman, as you look through these projects, and if you're familiar with the areas, and I think each of us might be able to find at least one someplace, understand that on each project, someone from the Wildlife Trust Fund, a very dedicated board with a lot of professionals on it, has made an on-site visit, and usually more than one has made an on-site visit. They vetted the thing high and low and have tried to find projects that best make use of the Wildlife Trust Funds. And this, after all, is an expenditure from a trust fund. It's not from the general fund. It's funds that are dedicated. The expenditures are consistent with the statute. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for questions.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I agree with the good chair. The Wildlife Trust Fund does a lot of good in taking care of habitat, and over the years that we've served on the committee, we both witnessed this. My concern is the conservation easements, of course. And I really want to say one of the members of the other body came to me and said, "You're trying to take away my private rights." I always stand up for individuals' right to do with their land what they want to do. And so I'm no way trying to say, as I talk about conservation easements, that the rancher landowner does not have the right to do whatever he wants, because I stand up for that foremost. But as I've studied these conservation easements, on your desk, I gave you this paper that has a list of all the conservation easements and the funds. The first category is the funds that are going to go to the landowner and the cost per acre, the state's input in them. And when you get over to the percent of the state, the good chairman's absolutely right. They are leveraged way good, the average being 9.42. So there's a lot of money coming into these conservation easements from other places. So if you just go through these bullet points real quickly, the federal land in the West is 54%. One of my heartburns is in perpetuity. Do we really know what our future generations are going to do? It's great for us to do. So that in perpetuity just bothers me a whole bunch, I guess. And do we have more information before the easement is given? Do we really know, you know, everything about it? And we have to fund it and then go kind of look at it. But I'm not questioning that process because I think it ends up being a good process. Are there some other tools that we could use better than conservation easements? The landowner does get a big payment, and you can see that big payment in the second column, and that's the reason people are willing to put money in. And the rancher does make a contract, does have covenants according to what he wants to do, but again, people aren't going to put money into a conservation easement if they're not going to get something back, and that's my concern, I guess. The land values on a conservation easement ranch does not increase the way neighboring ranches will increase because you've sold it off for this price, and even though you own it, you have other owners besides you, and you can do what you want to do with your land according to the covenants that you have made. And then these covenants can be resold. And the good chairman pointed out he has not been aware of any of those in Wyoming, but they are resold in other places, and they're sold for more money. So somebody's going to make money, and it won't be the rancher. And look who puts the money in, and as stated, the federal government is the major person that puts it in.
The state is putting 9.42 average in. Well, somebody else is putting 90% in, and that gives them a little strings on the land, and that's my worry. So I guess my last point is, should the state, the conservation easements are good things, but should the state be taking our money out and the general fund money goes into the Wildlife Trust Fund, and that money is what is used, and then the federal government putting money there. So I'm a little concerned with that last thing. That bothers me worse than anything. So I would urge you to look carefully at this. Thank you.
Representative Simlek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief, but some of the points that the previous speaker were certainly, I think, were valid. To put a conservation easement on your place is a private property right. This is not what the issue is about. Leveraging money, in my opinion, is not what this issue is about either. What difference does it make to us as a body sitting here on the House floor today how much money is leveraged? How does that benefit or take anything away from us? I have a growing concern about these conservation easements being purchased through public money. There are a lot of opportunities out there, folks, to put conservation easements on your place through private entities. A lot of money out there to do that. I just would suggest that we need to take a look at this. The good presenter of the bill talks about how the expertise involved in the board. I don't disagree with that. That is their job. That is their passion. They need to do that. They need to advocate for that. And I think it's time to put the brakes on this. We need an interim study, a comprehensive study about how do the people of Wyoming really benefit with the using public money for the purpose of conservation easements when we have a lot of opportunities for landowners across the state to do it in other ways.
Representative Childers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, have the same concerns that the good representative from chairs the Agriculture Committee. But I guess my question that I do want answered, besides all listen about the conservation easement, what is the difference between the Senate version and the engrossed version and the other?
Representative McComey.
The apostrophe in Devil's Tower is the difference.
Representative Peasley.
I'll just reserve for a second talk. Thanks.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Great discussion, and we've had a lot of great discussions this session about conservation easements. And I stand in support of this bill and urge you to vote aye. The one comment I want to make as far as this discussion on conservation easements, let's talk about what we are doing. And of course, what we are doing is recognizing the value of agriculture in our state. And we have a lot of bills every year that we talk about for ag, recognizing the contribution. And it did take me a while to understand the value that we have with these conservation easements in recognizing the importance of agriculture in our state. Now, the what can we do to keep ranchers ranching and to keep everybody working and protect these open spaces for the future? The way I look at this, you know, when we look at our top three economic drivers, minerals, of course, on the top, and tourism, number two. Now, how do we accomplish that? I would maintain how we maintain that balance in our beautiful state is with agriculture. That in order to maintain that balance going forward, I see conservation easements as an integral part and only a positive for our state, so we can continue to enjoy the economies that we have and hopefully sustain into the future. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we asked some of the questions that have been talked about out here. We asked the question about all of a sudden here's all these easements. This is the fourth cycle. These things seem to run cycles. It started out with all types of other things. In here also is easements that extend the sage-grouse corridor. This is part of what some of this is about, to help Wyoming lead the way in protecting the sage-grouse so we don't get listed for sage-grouse, excuse me. And so those are some of the questions. There was questions, testimony in the committee. Some people have used these in order to save the ranch. Somebody died and they needed to do this. Somebody had to be bought out. Other people have done it so that they could keep the ranch for their children and be able to use it this way. The easements, this seems to be the cycle of the easements. But in answer to this, another question that was raised, the Wyoming Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund has generated more than 500 annual jobs and $20.9 million in labor earnings since 2006. So this is kind of putting our money to work, and it's leveraged. As has been pointed out, I have a list here where the leverage has run from as much as 20% to as low as 4%. So these are some of the things that we need to be aware of in this money. Now, we set up the trust fund. We put money in this trust fund. The interest from this trust fund is where a lot of this is coming from. And it was for these very things. And when we first established the commission, the head of these commissions were a senator and a member of the House of Representatives, two of the more conservative people that we had. And they set this up, and they helped promulgate the rules and regulations that say that they'll bring these things to us. So this fund is, we try to do this fund to protect everybody, protect the legislature, protect the people of Wyoming as best we can. These were just other testimony. These were just a few of the many projects that were brought. They rejected many, many more projects than were brought. On and for the bill.
Chairman Korberg.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just going to piggyback a little bit on what my good colleague, Chairman of Agriculture from House District Number 1 said. We do have this discussion almost every year when the bill is brought before us. I don't think anyone is disputing the fact that we did legislatively allow this in statute. It's all about leveraging money. I guess what it still harkens back to is this the appropriate role of government? And for those of you that actually think that this is going to save the agriculture industry, I mean, I take a little exception to that. It might save it now, but that still does not down the road guarantee that same piece of ground is going to remain profitable in the future. What it does, perhaps it might be a stopgap measure for today, but it certainly, down the road, is still not going to guarantee that ranch or that farm stays in the family or that it stays agriculture. So let's, you know, I was involved in agriculture for many years personally, and
you can Band-Aid approach it for right now, which is what these conservation easements are about, right now. It's an influx of money. It makes everything square. Everybody can sit back and breathe a sigh of relief. And I guarantee you 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years from now, there is no guarantee with this. So don't be under the misconception that this is going to save the agriculture industry. The question still begs answering, is this the appropriate role of government? Is this an appropriate role of our funding? And we have the discussion every time it comes up, and I submit to you that it is not. So I can't ever remember having voted for this bill, so on and opposed to the bill. Thank you.
Representative Peasley.
For my second time. I know. I've got to read the rules, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I hesitate to get up and talk on this. I've already spoken. And I guess the two things I want to emphasize are, number one, I hope everybody understands what it means when we say into perpetuity. In my way of thinking, you might as well just take up that chunk of land, put it on that aircraft carrier, and send it down the North Platte River, because it is going to be just used the way the people that own the easement have allowed it to be used. And once we take it out, it's gone. And it's gone in the sense that we'll never be able to use any creative imagination to put it to use. Now, maybe down the road, everybody wants things to remain empty and unused and pristine. And I know there's a lot of people live outside this square state that would like to see us stay empty and pristine, indeed primitive. I just don't think we need to commit public funds to encourage this sort of behavior. We've got very limited public or private land in this state. And all we're trying to do is coax people into making it public or to create an easement on it and limit its use so that we will have a state that they see as beautiful. Private property is as fundamental as any concept we have. And I just don't see the government's role as being one of encouraging, enticing, or funding, or in some way otherwise encouraging people to take their property literally out of the private property market. Now, I realize it's a property right, and I have a hard time arguing against a person's right to put a gun to his head, so to speak, and get rid of his property, or to get rid of his control of it, or to get rid of his children or his grandchildren's control of it. But I can't go there. I guess that is a right that you have. What I don't like is us, as the people who are supposed to be taking care of the people's money, spending the people's money to encourage people into this behavior. I think it's something they have a right to do, and I understand we live in fear of whether there'll be a Preble's mouse or a sage grouse or a black-footed something or other running around there. But in that regard, the state can fund whatever it has to fund, but let's not move private property away from the control of the people. Remember, even our mineral trust fund is not into perpetuity. And we keep saying it is. We can never go there. No, we can go there if we have a constitutional amendment. But I submit these property rights are going to be protected not just by our Constitution, but by the federal. So I think you got to remember this. Into perpetuity is a big word. It's even bigger than a trillion, okay? Deal with it. Thank you.
Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to bring up one point that hasn't been mentioned so far, and that's that industry realizes the value of these easements and contributes heavily towards them. They understand that if the bird gets listed, they will be restrained considerably. So there's mitigation money that's gone into these easements. They get their money leveraged, the state gets their money leveraged, and the property owner who does not give up his property rights in any way to the government still holds free title to his land other than his restrictions that he chooses to put on there. So I think Just a little bit of a report from my side of the state. We lost 60% of our mule deer herd, which we were quite proud of before. And the state, and the Game and Fish, and the landowners, and the people who enjoy hunting in our side of the state really want to do something about it. And we were able to do it through these easements. And it's working quite well. Thank you.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Chairman, well, let's talk about in perpetuity for a minute. That really is, that quarrel really needs to be fought in Congress and not here, because much of this has to do with the federal tax law, and it insists that the easements be in perpetuity. But let's talk about some other things that are happening in our state that are also in perpetuity. And you can take almost any city or town in this state that you live in or that's in your district, and I submit to you that's there, that's a land use that's there in perpetuity. It was made without any conscious decision about whether it was good wildlife planning, good agricultural planning, good any kind of planning. And I, as I go around the state, I'm really impressed with where our cities and towns are. I think most of them were located by somebody on horseback who was getting beat to death by the climate. And I think that they found some of the nicest areas in our state, the easiest places to live in, and that's where they put our cities and towns, and that is a permanent change of use for all practical purposes. What about the corridor across the Red Desert? That includes the interstate highway, the railroad, transmission lines, power lines, pipelines, ad nauseum. That is a land use decision that was made when somebody started hacking in the Oregon Trail. But I would submit to you that that's a permanent change in land use. So these are not the only, my only point is this, these are not the only permanent changes in land use that are being made. And these 40-acre subdivisions that we see all over the state, I've never seen one of them revert back. Once that's done, that's done. And the problem with 40-acre subdivisions is while they're fairly, or not very dense, nonetheless, for purposes of some game species, like the sage grouse, that is habitat fragmentation. And habitat fragmentation is anathema to these animals. So, are we entitled on a deliberate, publicly funded basis to make the same kind of perpetuity, in perpetuity decisions with some land uses to favor wildlife and favor habitat that were made by accident or for other reasons with respect to other land uses that now in our state are, for all intents and purposes, in perpetuity? And I would submit that that's a good use of public funds. I would submit that conservation easements are a good way to do it. Now, somebody said, well, the land won't increase in value as much as the land next to it because of these covenants. That's true. That's one of the reasons there ought to be a compensation. I guess the alternative to do that would be to take the wildlife habitat we want and just zone it. And by rule and regulation, take someone's property away from them. And I don't think we want to do that. And this treats a landowner fairly in terms of a dollar paid, consideration paid for a benefit. Now, I hear this talk, I can't get to the bottom of it, frankly, about this dark side thing about conservation easements being sold. And I can't get to the bottom of it. I'm not aware of any that have been sold. The ones that I've read a lot of these things. They all say they can't be assigned. They can't be sold, at least without the permission of the holder. And the holder is going to be the Wildlife Trust organization that's holding these things. And my further question to you is, why would somebody pay big money for a conservation easement when all you would be buying is the right to not have that property do anything which already exists? Where's the great incentive to do that? Sure, there's federal strings involved. Like I say, I guess you fight that battle in Washington, D.C., and it's not just the federal money that's put into this, but there are tax incentives that are very specific, laid out in the Internal Revenue Code, and those are there. But these are voluntary transfers of property, and people ought to be able to do it if they want to. Now, just a couple more thoughts. You know, wildlife habitat, and I think it's illustrated by our cities, the 40-acre subdivisions, the transportation corridor, there are other things. Once that habitat's gone, it's not coming back, with rare exceptions. There, of course, is some reclamation on mines. There's reclamation with mineral activities. But those uses are so sensitive that in a lot of cases, mitigation for that activity is being made in the form of conservation easements or putting land into perpetual use to trade off for the land that's being taken out of perpetual use. There's this argument about ag, and I would say this is not about ag. It's maybe a nice sidelight, but it's about habitat. This is really about habitat. And I think that we're all aware that with respect to winter habitat for a lot of our game herds, the big end of it's on private property. And that's where the conservation easements are going. The summer habitat, the summer range for these animals is on public property. The winter habitat's on private property, and some of these private property owners get hammered pretty hard. And then to say to them, well, there maybe would have been a way to fund the habitat that you're providing and give you some compensation for that, but we decided we wouldn't do it. It's just incongruous to me. It just doesn't seem right. And as I say, in any event, this seems like each time it gets to be too much of an argument or a debate about conservation easements. They just happen to be the thing that's in favor right now because there's a lot of funding, but it's really about habitat. There's a lot of habitat improvement as well as habitat preservation involved in this that doesn't involve conservation easements. And it's a great use of public dollars that are dedicated to habitat. They're going to fund habitat, and it's true that they create a use in perpetuity, but it's a use that's probably existed in perpetuity. So I urge you to vote in favor of the bill.
Do I have a question? Question being called. All in favor of Chairman McComey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 42 do pass. Say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
The ayes have it. Senate File 42 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again at 1:30.
You have heard the request. The chamber will rise and sit again at 1:30. Committee announcements. Representative Ilhoway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet Tuesday at noon to decide, we'll consider interim topics, will be in House 18.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet at 12:30 in H-17 to discuss our final bill, Senate File 66, Medical Assistance Hospice Care. Also, the women in the House who wish to be in the Women's Caucus photo, please go to the front of the room as quickly as possible.
Chairman Korberg.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 8, Joint Transportation, will meet Tuesday, March 6th, 15 minutes after adjournment in room H-17. We will have a joint committee with the Senate down the hall and finalize our interim topics. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 2 will meet here after the picture in Room 204 to hear re-referred bills, Senate File 43 and Senate File 71.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Education Committee number 4 will meet upstairs during the noon recess.
The Committee of the Whole will rise and seat again at 1:30.